Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with New York City jazz vocalist Nika Carrington. She is promoting her debut CD, the 2022 album Times Like These. It took a worldwide epidemic to help her fully realize that tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Although she has been singing and studying voice since she was a young child, her shyness made her feel more comfortable singing in choirs surrounded by others, rather than stepping into the spotlight as a solo performer. We get into this album, her life in music, and the future. Enjoy the interview.
Nika, thank you for taking a minute after Neon Jazz today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
I think the title of your album is probably emblematic of the time here that we've been living through, times like these. And I'm curious, as a recording artist, as a performer, how did you survive COVID? You know, now that you have a new album and live shows are opening up, we're in a vastly different world right now, but we went through quite a fix. How did you survive that time, and how did it change you now that we're reemerging?
I'd say it's a combination of two things. First and foremost is just my faith. Without it, there's just no way I would have had the internal resources to get through even like thinking about it now, you can feel the overwhelming weight of the sadness and the grief and the rage and the confusion. I don't think there's anyone that has enough internal resources to handle all of that. So that is first and foremost. Relying on that helped me through that a lot. And then, of course, you know, we as human beings, we need methods of expression. We have to get it out somehow. And for me, the choice was my music. My music has always been something that I turn to. I've always done it more as out of enjoyment and as a hobby than really something that I was like, oh, I was fiending to become well known or famous or, you know, anything like that. It just was just something that I had to do. So which is why, even though there will be periods in my life where I would be away from it because I had to do life and just couldn't quite find enough time to get back to it, it never escaped me. So getting through COVID, I knew I needed to have some outlet for the grief and the anguish. And so this is how I turned to my music. And then in turning to the music, this project had always been in the back of my mind. And with so much death and so many reminders that, hey, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We just don't know. So what are you waiting for, Nika? I mean, you know, there's no one's going to do this for you. You have to do it. So for me, my response to COVID and the tragedy of COVID and the uncertainty of COVID was to turn to my music and to channel it into times like these.
And this is your debut album, which is a pretty big deal. I mean, this is your opening statement, so to speak, in the world of jazz. And I'm curious how you curated and artistically orchestrated this album for the best possible impact as your kind of entry point, so to speak, into this larger world of recorded music in the jazz community.
Sure. I would say that the roots of this of this compilation started as part of a mourning process for when my dad passed away. My dad passed away in 2018, about a year before COVID upended the world, and I was so grieving over his death that again I turned to my music, and in the back of my mind, I started thinking about songs that would have a sepia sort of feel to it. And I had a list of all the songs that would be give voice to the sadness that I was feeling. But then after COVID hit, it was like, yeah, I'm not the only one who must be feeling this sadness. But the emotions couldn't stay in the sadness. I was looking for songs that spoke to, yeah, this is life, and these are songs that can help put to words the wide variety of emotions I imagine that not only me, but other people all around the world must have been feeling. So as John and I were going through, I had a long list. I don't know, I guess I had maybe 20, 30 songs. We started going through the list and trying to figure out, okay, well, what is the story that we want to tell? And I know people listen to music entirely differently now. You know, they're listening to singular songs, but I really, you know, I grew up listening to full albums, and I kind of wanted to capture that same feeling and sensation with figuring out, okay, let's figure out the songs that that speak to the variety of emotions that people who are living alone or people who are maybe living with spouses and still feeling alone, people who, you know, just are just sad, and but then not leaving people in the state of sadness, because we live, we continue to live, we continue to grow, and as long as you have breath in your body, there's still hope. So that's why this album, even though it's a collection of ballads, they're not all doom and gloom, and I intentionally wanted to end it with Here's to Life. You know, I intentionally started it out with Skylark, because to me, Skylark just represents the promise, the hope. I'm imagining this character going through different phases of emotions. This character might be feeling from the beginning of hopeful beginnings. You know, you don't quite have the love that you're looking for, but you're still hopeful. But then you're going through the phases of, oh, I'm feeling alone. You know, I'm saying goodbye. I miss your smile. But then at the end, it's like, you know what? We're still living. I'm still alive. You know, and as long as I can say that, all is not lost. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. It certainly does. So you were shy. You've been singing when you were a child. You were very shy, and you know, singing was something that you did quite a bit. Take me back to your childhood. Where were you born and raised, and how did kind of the idea of singing and song and jazz become the seeds that would become you now?
I was born and raised in New York. My dad was a jazz musician, a jazz enthusiast. He played a variety of musical instruments. We even had our own little house band, and I dabbled at the trumpet and the piano. And he had I don't know how many records he had, thousands of albums. And, you know, to his chagrin, I would go to his albums and I would play them on the record player when people had record players, and you know, inadvertently scratch up a few items. But I always found that I was just so drawn to the vocalists, and especially ballads. And I remember just being so particularly drawn to Frank Sinatra. He just so captivated me, and his ability to just stand there, plant his feet, and tell a story. And I could just always see in my mind the characters in the stories that he would sing. So, you know, from him to, of course, all the jazz female vocalists like Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and, all of the greats, I gravitated to them. And in addition to the vocalists, I tended to gravitate towards the lyrical musicians, you know, like Miles Davis, like Wes Montgomery, even Chet Baker. And, you know, because I was studying the trumpet, I was, you know, particularly drawn to Chet Baker because he was both a trumpet player and a musician. And I just loved his sound. But I was never comfortable at being out front. And I think what's held me back for so many years was because I grew up listening to so many great singers. I'm like, how can you? I mean, I kept comparing my sound to their sound, and it took so many years for me to be okay with my sound and to find my voice, that I did not have to be able to scat. you know, like Ella Fitzgerald or Sarah Vaughan or Mel Torme. I had to be, what was important was that I did everything that I could to take care of my instrument, to continue to study, to continue to build upon it, to continue to grow it, and to find out what is my song, and to realize that the gifts that we have are not for us. They're for sharing. They're for putting out into the world and helping other people to enjoy them. So, yeah, so this has been, it's taken a very long time to get comfortable with putting myself out there and not necessarily just singing in a choir, though I love singing in a choir. To me, there's nothing like it. But, yeah, it took COVID. Literally, it literally took a pandemic for me to wake up and be like, wait, you know, what are you doing? What do you want to do? You know, you have to try this. You know, you don't want to be, you know, end up in the final hours or minutes of your life looking back and saying, oh, I wish I would have, or I should have. I never wanted to experience that. So,
you know, the one thing that always leaves a lasting impression, I mean, albums, obviously, and the songs, but when you see someone live, what was the first live show that you saw that really blew you away?
Oh, my goodness. I saw Nancy Wilson perform live, and I was driving, I think, where was she performing? I think she was performing, oh, it may have been at the Blue Note, or it may have been someplace, I can't remember exactly right now. And I just, she's like, okay, someone I just grew up adoring, and I was just crying, and it just blew me away. So she was one of the first live performances. My dad, when I was little, would take me to Jazzmobile, concerts in the park. You know, they would play in different, and they still do, they still perform in different areas through the park. Around New York City, excuse me. And I was too young to understand and appreciate jazz instrumentalists. I always took them kind of for granted, and it was always playing in the background of my life. So I know these tunes. I'm familiar with all of the jazz greats, but it took me many years to develop an appreciation for the music. So, and I'm saying all that just so that you know that even though I had been exposed to a lot of live music growing up, it wasn't until I saw one of my favorite jazz vocalists, and I know Nancy Wilson really didn't consider herself a jazz singer, but when I saw her perform live and I understood, wow, this is what it means to put your gift out into the world and not be afraid and get out there. So I would say that would be the first performance that really just blew me away.
So what do you like the best about being a musician? You know, this is obviously your debut, but the process of really, you know, not only recording, but doing live music, the whole process of being a professional musician, what do you look forward to the most every day?
Oh my goodness. Just making music with other people. Just when we were in the recording studio and I heard John and Chuck and Joe play the first beats, the first notes, and I'm like, wow, what a privilege it is to be able to, in this moment, make music with these incredible musicians. So to me, what I enjoy most is the process of making music with other souls. And I think that also ties back into why I enjoy singing in a choir so much. It's just when you, one voice, yeah, can move, but when you have the combination of voices and instruments, there's absolutely nothing like it. So for me, yeah, making music is more about the act of it, the process of it that I really enjoy. Because I have to admit, performing live is not something I particularly am fond of. but I'm, you know, learning to understand that the act of performing live is a gift. The people would come to hear you sing is a gift, and accepting that and making sure that you're ready for those moments and that you're giving it your all and not just sleepwalking through it. So yeah.
Everyone has a perception of you, an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
I think that I am an incredibly blessed person who, with faith, with trust, with hope, with care, am living my life. I'm trying to make sure that I make every moment count. I would say that's who I am ultimately, and making moments count, not just for myself, but for what I can do for others. That brings me the most joy. So I would say who I am is probably reflected in my songs. I'm reflective. I'm hopeful. I'm a realist, but I'm not depressed. I'm not down. I'm hopeful. I'm realistically hopeful, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I dig it for sure. Nika, hey, good luck with times like these. Good luck with getting out there with the live shows and the debut album. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and singers in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Nika for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe DiBino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.